WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Thursday morning. And we were talking in the first hour about this city council motion that's on the agenda for tonight, requesting communication sent to the MBTA, MassDOT, the local delegation, Mayor Mitchell's office, requesting and asking about who is responsible for cleaning up the trash along the commuter rail line in New Bedford. Not only the trash that's there now, but who's going to be handling that in perpetuity? As I mentioned, you know, many people have mentioned it. Barry wrote about it, but we had people call in and talk about it. People have mentioned it to me, you know, off the air. I saw it myself. But I think, you know, it's not a New Bedford problem. You get on that train and ride to Boston, you're going to be riding through areas, especially when you get to like Brockton, where you're going to see trash along the rail route. Same idea. But the question here is, well, who's going to take care of that? Because we don't want that to be out there. You know, does it turn into the MBTA saying, well, we'll take care of it? It's our responsibility. It's our land. Will we agree to have somebody come once a week or twice a week and go through it? Or do they say, well, you know, it is our property, but if you want to have your DPI take care of it, we'll give them permission to be able to go on the tracks to do so. And we'll train them on, you know, the safety of working on tracks to get it done. Whatever the decision may be. It's got to get figured out. And as I said, I went over there to the Church Street station and went over onto Nash Road and tried to see as much of it as I could, but without getting on the train and taking that ride, I can't speak to whether or not there's trash still there, but it looked really clean over at the Church Street station. And that was my first time ever really, you know, getting out of the car and walking around that station and taking a look at how it's set up. And I've talked about it in the past. So we had a story. I don't remember exactly when it was, but it was a little while ago. And it was actually Mary Cerez, our former news reporter, who broke the story for the outlet that she works for now. And then, you know, sent it to me and said, hey, this is something you might want to talk about. But that the plaza that has Sabres and the trampoline park and Job Lot and all those other stores, that was sold for something like $14 million, if I remember correctly. And somebody didn't buy that plaza for $14 million just to collect rent from the current tenants. That person bought that plaza because they knew that the train going in was going to make that land very, very valuable. And you're going to see, this is just speculation, no plans have been announced as far as I know, but you're going to see, you know, that eventually that plaza is going to get torn down and they'll probably build up something that is, you know, multi-floor residential apartments and shops on the bottom. So, you know, that could be a grocery store, things that people would need to live there. Although there's a Stop and Shop across the street. They might not need a grocery store tenant. But, you know, it'll be the idea of one of these, as we're talking about these transit-oriented districts, it'll be one of those. You know, it's designed for people to kind of live and be all encompassed in the area and then get on the train to go to work. that's what somebody's going to try to turn that property into. And if that's the case, well, they're going to need to do something to get them over to the station, because it's not going to be as, you know, they're not going to walk down King's Highway and loop around down Church Street and walk down there, not when it's right across the way. So I was looking at it and I was like, well, they have these little like platform areas that I don't know what those are for. It's currently constituted, but I was like, well, that could be something that eventually the train opens up on that side as well. And then I was looking at them and I said, you could actually build one of those footbridges that they have over some of the stations where it the stairs just go up and then, you know, it kind of goes up and you just walk over the train, then you go down again. It's nothing fancy. I was like, you could put a ramp on it as well. So I think that there's that future potential down there if that becomes necessary, which was just something that I, you know, observed in spending a few minutes down there last night. So we can talk more about that, 508-996-0500. We're getting comments on the Facebook page already from people that say, you know, it's a city, you shouldn't be surprised. Other people saying, you know, it's because of the homeless population in that area. And I think that does play a part of it. As I mentioned, there was an encampment behind, I don't know what businesses are in the old Flagship Plaza now. I didn't look and see who was there. But behind that building, there was obviously people that are living there. I could see a little bit into the brush, and there was a mattress. Somebody's jacket was hanging up. They had a bicycle, which is why I was like, oh, somebody's home. I don't want to go too far down this path. But I think that there was the potential there for some of that stuff to end up on the tracks, although it is fenced off. I think you probably got, you know, trash that does blow in from the King's Highway area. You know, you got fast food places and parking lots, and that can lend to a lot of trash kind of blowing around. But who's going to handle that? That's what the councilors are trying to find out. And you can read Councilor Oliver's comments in the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. If Councilor Choquette gets back to me, I had a conversation with him about it. He just was busy. So if he does send something along, I'll add that in. And if Councilor Giesta responds to my email, I'll add that in as well. But I got no response from her. So we can, as I said, talk more about that. I also want to talk about another story that I have up at WBSM.com and on the app. And you may not care about this at all, but it's kind of big news in the entertainment world. But Bravo announced that the Real Housewives franchise is coming to Rhode Island. And the news broke yesterday. The Rhode Island Office of Film and TV put out this press release. And Bravo, I guess, had made a statement. And so I was like looking around saying, okay, who wants to write this? Like which one of our writers knows about the Real Housewives and can write about this? Maddie Levine from Fun 107 wrote an article back in December that this was rumored to happen because of a buzz on social media. It's like, Maddie's the perfect person to write this. Well, Maddie also has another business. She teaches mixed martial arts. Her and her husband opened up a gym. So I was like, well, she's busy. I can't get her to do it. Well, who else can do it? Nobody else was around. So I said, well, this is kind of big news. I guess I have to write it. And I know nothing of the Real Housewives franchise. So I was able to fudge my way through an article and at least give you the pertinent information that you need. They have not announced any kind of release date or anything. All they did is they've done what's called, they've greenlit the project. So the way it works is the production company tries to come up with new seasons and new spinoff shows and things like that. And what they do is they pitch these shows to the network. And then the network takes into consideration whether or not they want to run it. They'll look into who is going to be on it. they'll look into, you know, some of the tie-ins they can do with some of its existing properties, things like that. And then the network decides whether or not to buy the show. Very rarely does a production company say, we're going to fund this show and pay to make it and then try to sell it after the fact. Usually what happens is they have a concept. They have what they call a pitch or a treatment. And so, you know, a pitch is like we sit in the meeting and we give them the idea and they're like, love it. Let's move forward. Or a treatment is you give them an entire packet that is like, here's what the show is about. Here's who's going to be on it. Here's what a sample episode would look like. You know, and you have to like basically write out a fictional episode that doesn't exist with all the different beats of the program in there. And, you know, break it into acts and, you know, note where the drama potential is and all that kind of stuff. So then you do all that. And then the network says, okay, yeah, we're going to green light this. We'll cut you a check for this much money. And that's how much you're going to get to produce this show. And so that's why it can, you know, take a while even after it's announced for the show to actually make it to air because they haven't filmed anything yet. Now, this franchise is lucrative enough that the producers might have filmed some stuff already on their own dime under the assumption that they would get the green light. But who knows? But you're still a while away from seeing it. We'll keep you up to date with when it's going to premiere, but, well, I'll leave that up to the people that know about that franchise better. But it's not the first time that the Real Housewives have come to New England. They apparently, and I didn't know this because I didn't know that there was more than one show. And basically, like, all of these different shows, like Real Housewives of Atlanta or Real Housewives of New York, these are all different seasons of the flagship one, but then they have other ones that they break off of from different characters and different concepts. And they had one called Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip or something like that, where they moved into a mansion in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, which is also the site of a pretty famous UFO case from the 1960s. It's been featured on Unsolved Mysteries. But that's, you know, that's a, there's a difference between being in a mansion out in Western Massachusetts and being in Rhode Island. And we don't know where in Rhode Island, you know, is this going to be Newport? Because Newport is going to be a lot different than Providence. But we'll see where that goes. And I say, when I say we'll see, I mean, you know, we as in the editorial, we as in all of us, because I do not plan on watching the show. Although, you know, it might be fun to see what kind of Rhode Island references they put into it. You know, are they going to be drinking coffee milk? Are they going to be, you know, eating hot wieners? I mean, how many shots are we going to get? How many B-roll shots are we going to get of Federal Hill restaurants? I don't think we're going to see much of them shopping at the Providence Place Mall because usually the Real Housewives, from my understanding, have more expensive taste than that, but they're not going to be in Boscov's getting a deal. There's no Nordstrom there anymore. But yeah, I have no idea about this show. I know nothing about it. But I know it's a big deal to the people that watch it because it's one of the most popular shows on television. So you can find out more about it at WBSM.com and WBSM app if that's something you're interested in. And if you are, have fun with it. But I'm probably not going to see any of it. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Nothing will ever beat the Real Housewives of South Boston. And that's all I've got to say about that. That is true entertainment right there.
Well, I don't think you could put that on TV because you'd have to be bleeping out every other word.
Right, but that's what makes it fun. And you know it's a spoof. It's all a joke anyways. But for Housewives of South Boston, that's local funny. Now, did you get to listen to the mayor's conversation yesterday with Chris?
Not yet, no. I was in a meeting, so I missed most of it. I came out at like the last couple minutes when they were just wrapping things up.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm wondering, I would have wondered what your opinion was on what the mayor spoke about the flag raising controversy with Eric Andre, because he pretty much reiterated what he said in the letter, or in his original statement about it, that it's up to him, and the only flags that are going to be up there officially are the state, city, you know, U.S. flag, and that's it. And everything else, he said, I think he doesn't want to make. He doesn't want to offend people that he's been kind of catering to for these different festivals, which makes sense. And it's unfortunate that Eric has to push this issue to make him say, no, we can't have any Portuguese flag up here for Day of Portugal or, you know.
Oh, so he said they're going to stop that practice?
No. No, he did not. And I think that's why he left it open. And that's what Eric is grasping at. That's the angle that Eric is going after. Because the mayor has these special allowances.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in a way I can see where he could make that argument, because in that particular case, you know, you are flying the flag of another nation, but you're doing it for a cultural event in the city. So then you could say, hey, listen, this protest that we're trying to do is a cultural event unto itself. So I see where he could kind of make that argument. I don't think it's accurate, but I could see how he could try to utilize that angle.
Hey, that's why I laughed. It's not a cultural event. Not one that benefits this city anyways. But it's unfortunate that the city has this decision to make, because he doesn't want to offend people. You know, can you imagine the poop storm that he's going to have to deal with in June when he says, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to raise that rainbow flag? Well, you know, that's...
the flag policy does allow for civic groups to be able to fly a flag at the mayor's discretion. So that does give him the out to be able to say, you know, if that flag is representing the LGBTQ+ network, then yeah, then you could put that up there under the policy. I don't know if he said that he wasn't going to, but I know that would give him the leeway in that policy to be able to do it.
Right. But I think as long as he keeps allowing those things to go up, then Eric is going to keep pushing to put his communist flags up.
Well, you also have to put yourself in the mayor's shoes too. Like, how much do you really care if he keeps making an issue out of it? Like, how much support is he actually garnering in the city for this? So if you think that it's a non...
That's why he kind of brushed it off. He said if more people agreed with it, then maybe we'd look at it. But it's just this guy.
New Bedford is full of individuals that make a bunch of noise. It doesn't mean that that noise gets them anywhere.
Yeah. Nor would I advocate for people to be gathering together and making more noise like that, because we don't need communism in New Bedford. And I know Eric well enough that that's the angle that that's the direction he's coming from ultimately. So that's a steamroller that's never going to stop. So I think the mayor has to make a decision and say, I'm sorry, folks, these two flags, maybe these three flags, including, you know, state, city, country. But that's it, period. Sorry. You can hang them someplace else, go make a park, hang them up in your park. But that's it.
All right. So, I got to hold you there, but thank you for the call. All right, we got to take a break here. When we come back from the break, we'll go into the news and then more with you, 508-996-0500.
New Fed rates remain unchanged, additional flu deaths for children in the Northeast, and a new category added to the Golden Globes.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The CDC is reporting 216 pediatric flu deaths, with 25 of those in New York. Health Commissioner Dr. James McDonald says that's the highest number ever recorded in the Empire State. 24 of the 25 children who died had not received a flu shot, with five of those too young to get the vaccine. Three former Memphis officers have been found not guilty in the Tyree Nichols murder trial.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Demetrius Haley, not guilty.
They were charged with beating Nichols to death back in 2023 that was caught on video. The trio was found not guilty on all charges. They already faced the possibility of years in prison after they were convicted of federal charges last year. I'm Lisa Taylor.
The White House is withdrawing the nomination of Dr. Jeanette Nishewat to serve as the U.S. Surgeon General. The decision comes days after Laura Loomer criticized the nominee of previously supporting the COVID vaccine, while also accusing her of promoting DEI-focused initiatives. President Trump confirmed the decision on Truth Social, where he announced he will be picking a new person for the position. The Federal Reserve leaving interest rates unchanged. It comes as recent economic reports have sent mixed signals on the state of the economy. Inflation still remains above the central bank's target of 2%. It's also mentioning tariffs implemented by the White House. The Golden Globes adding a new annual category debuting in 2026. Organizers of the awards show announced yesterday that a new Best Podcast of the Year will be introduced. The awards show looks to honor its heritage categories while making room for new voices and formats. 25 podcasts will qualify with 6 final nominations for the award. More than 30 Republicans are warning House GOP leadership about a major bill being crafted in Congress.
The letter, which was addressed to Speaker Mike Johnson and Majority Leader Steve Scalise, reaffirmed Republican support for President Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill, but it also noted the need for strict adherence to the House's blueprint for the plan. The letter comes as Republicans have been working to come to an agreement on key components of the legislation, including tax policy and Medicaid cuts. The House looks to move on the forthcoming bill by the end of the month. I'm Brian Shook.
The judge in the Brian Koberger murder trial will allow his family members to be in the courtroom for the entire trial.
The prosecution wanted Brian Koberger's family excluded to avoid having their testimony affected by other witnesses. The judge ruled the scope of their testimony would be narrow and different from others giving testimony. They were also recorded with video during their interviews. Koberger is accused of killing 4 University of Idaho students in 2022. His trial is set for August. I'm Brad Ford.
New Hampshire is becoming the first state in the country to establish a crypto reserve. The legislation was adopted on Tuesday, and it enables the treasurer to invest up to 5% of New Hampshire's state funds into precious metals and digital assets. The metals and assets must have a market cap of more than $500 billion, and Bitcoin will be the asset used to fill the stockpile. The decision gives digital assets a win after several other states rejected similar legislation. Yesterday was the deadline for real IDs if you're planning on flying. Most airports operated smoothly on the first day of the real ID requirement.
Reports from several major airports indicate smooth implementation with minimal passenger disruption. Officials say passengers without a real ID card may still be able to fly, but will face additional screening and will have to wait in a separate line. All real ID cards are marked with a star in the upper right-hand corner, regardless of the state in which they're issued. I'm Lisa Taylor.
WBSM Sports.
The Knicks took game 2 over the Celtics last night, 91-90. They head on to New York for game 3 on Saturday afternoon at 3:30. And the Red Sox beat the Rangers 6-4. They play again at 1:35.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Not a bad Thursday on tap, waking up to temperatures in the low and mid-50s here on the South Coast. Later this afternoon, we're in a mix of sun and clouds. Clouds increase, though, later in the day. Temperatures in the afternoon getting into the upper 60s and low 70s. If you're inland, that's when you're going to see those temperatures start with a 7. We are looking at not just that extra cloud cover, though, but a couple of showers, even a rumble of thunder, not out of the question as we move through the evening. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM. WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. We can certainly talk more about the trash along the South Coast Rail route, along the tracks, and the city council motion tonight to discuss that and anything else that's on your mind. But just to go back to the Real Housewives a little bit, I want to thank our now resident expert on the Real Housewives franchise, Jesse, who corrected me a little bit there, or provided me with some information I did not have. And she said that the Real Housewives always hang out in the Berkshires, and they vacation many times in Newport. This is stuff that's made the show. Real Housewives of New York filmed in Newport on vacation. They've also gone to Salem. And Dorinda, a former housewife of New York City, has a house in the Berkshires where they have vacationed. So she's actually on the hunt to find out where they might be filming, and she's going to report back to us if she finds out anything. So there you go. We're going to have our own embedded Real Housewife spy letting us know if anything happens. Again, I've never seen a single episode of the show. I remember watching TV one time, and I saw not even Bravo, because I don't think I watch anything on Bravo. But I was watching something, and they had a commercial for Vanderpump Rules, and I was like, what's a Vanderpump? I had to, like, look it up. I had no idea. Like, I don't know about any of that stuff. My reality TV world is all the paranormal stuff, so, and that's just as bad for a lot of people, so. 508-996-0500. Although I used to watch The Real World the first couple of years, and then the first couple seasons of Survivor, but can't really stick with reality TV because it's hard for me to get mad and despise like real people. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. I read the story on BSM about the trash along the rails.
Yes.
This is the first time that any story I read from BSM doesn't have the author's name at the top.
Yeah, there's something weird going on with the site today. I have to put in a ticket to have it fixed.
So who wrote it?
I did.
Oh. You couldn't put your name there?
Well, it's supposed to do it automatically.
When you took your first ride that day on that train, did you see any trash along the route?
I did coming back. So when we left, it was dark, so you couldn't really see anything. But coming back, I remember when we got on the train in Taunton to come back into New Bedford, when we got into this area that the councilors are talking about between Church Street and Nash Road, I saw a lot of trash out there. And I remember saying when I saw it, wow, they couldn't clean this up before, like knowing dignitaries were going to be on this train, they couldn't clean this up. And I'm actually sitting with important people from the MBTA and the site. Not they were sitting with me, but they were sitting next to me. And, you know, I kind of said that loud enough so that they would hear it, but they didn't have any reaction to it.
How did you feel about it?
I felt the same way that that Councillor Oliver does in his statement there, where, you know, this shouldn't be what people are seeing as they come into the city.
Now, I know they were working along that route as they were getting ready for that train to start up. So didn't they notice any of that stuff while they were working along the whole route, the whole time they were working?
Mary, I'm going to guess that they did clean it. I'm going to guess that they did have it cleaned up before it was before service began, and that just more trash appeared. So the problem isn't that they don't clean it, maybe. It might be that they're not cleaning it frequently enough. It might be that they're that they don't care enough, or that they're not scheduling regular maintenance of that area.
Now, should we assume at all that it's tent cities or homeless people in tents and boxes, and could it be from them? Dare we assume that, or what?
I think that there, so that's definitely a possibility, because as I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you heard on air, but there's an encampment right across from the Church Street Station in the trees there. So that might be part of it. I think also you've got, all the fast food places and the businesses with their parking lots, and a lot of trash blows around in those parking lots. So you've got a lot of potential for this trash to get in there and kind of get almost like in a wind tunnel. Because if you look, you've got trees up one embankment, and then on the other side, you've got those old buildings on the other side. So you kind of get this little wind tunnel that this stuff, once it gets in there, probably gets trapped in there and doesn't blow around to other places.
When you say train station, Kings Highway, I haven't been in that area for a while. What are we meaning by the word station? Just that the train goes by there, or is there a place you can get out?
It's there's a platform there with benches and a parking lot.
Okay,
and
I never saw that. Talking about the trash, I've complained a lot about Fairhaven's Wendy's, which is not a train real place, but it's a fast food restaurant. They removed the only garbage barrel they had outside. It was one single barrel. And for a fast food restaurant, and a lot of people that go there, you'd think they would keep that clean, but they only had that one, and it was overflowing all the time. And you would think that since it's a fast food restaurant, that they would send somebody out there every hour or two to spruce it up. They never did that. They let it overflow. It went all over the ground. And by the time I got up there to do my early morning walking, the restaurant, of course, was closed. It was early morning, sometimes 5 a.m., 6 a.m. The trash that was all over that place, and it went on for a long time. And nobody, their answer was to remove that barrel. So now we found stuff on the ground. You either go there to eat, and then when you're finished eating, you're going to go in and throw it inside a barrel in the restaurant, or you just drive away with your food when you go through the drive-through, or you throw it out the window if you're eating there out in the parking lot. Now, I haven't been up there to walk in that spot for a while. I don't even know if they put a barrel back. I don't know if it's a mess up there anymore. I don't know, but I'm going to start looking up there.
Well, so I know that that's Fairhaven, but at least in terms of, talking about New Bedford, I can tell you also on the agenda tonight is they want to talk about these restaurants in New Bedford, these fast food places that aren't complying with the New Bedford ordinance that is required to have barrels, I believe, at the beginning and end of every drive-thru. So when you first pull up to the drive-thru, there's supposed to be a barrel, and when you are leaving the drive-thru, there's supposed to be a barrel, and many, many of the places that have drive-thrus are not complying with that.
Yeah, but that's the way it used to be, too. I don't know if you remember, but there always was one as you're driving out.
Yeah, and I think, I understand why a lot of these places want to pull those barrels in, because people utilize them from, they utilize them for taking trash out of their car and just cleaning their car out and shoving them in there, or they overstuff them in the course of the day and then stuff blows around before they can get to it. But you've got to have trash barrels. If you are giving people something that creates garbage, you have to have a receptacle for them to get rid of. Like, if I go to Cumberland Farms and I'm going to walk into Cumberland Farms and get a drink, a bottle of something, I want to have a place where I can take the old bottle that's in my car and throw it out. If I go and get a coffee at Dunkin', I want to have a place to take the old coffee that's in my car and throw it out. Otherwise, what happens? People just dump it and leave it or whatever.
It makes sense. Yeah, Cumbies always has it. By the way, Cumbies, they've raised up the prices of their coffee now. It's $2.24 for a coffee when it was $1.81 or $1.89, I think I was paying for it. And now, of course, everything has to go up. I know that. One last thing, the housewives. I never once ever saw any episode of that ever, but I think I'll just sit around and wait for the real husbands. When are they going to do that? Do you think they could, put that side of it too?
There would just be like 45 minutes of a guy just sitting there watching TV,
Maybe
I don't think there'd be nearly as dramatic, because they don't do nearly as many fun things, I don't think.
Yeah, but no, I think it would be very funny. I would like to see them shoveling snow or.
So we're getting a lot of comments that say they want to see Real Housewives of the South Coast. They want to see New Bedford people and Fall River people on there. Would you watch that? If that was a show, would you watch that one?
Well, I definitely would watch it. And I'd like to see how that turns out. Because, I mean, I haven't been a housewife for many, many years. And I still know how to throw a frying pan, you know? We talk about things like that in comedies and stuff. But I've never actually, I don't know anybody that's ever really, if they throw anything at their husbands, I might have seen it. The husband will say, well, bring me the Doritos. And the woman will come in the room and throw the bag at them. But I've never seen them throw frying pans or anything. That's all comedy stuff, you know?
Oh, by the same token, nobody's ever hit me in the face with a pie either. And I would actually like that.
You would?
Yeah.
No matter what kind of pie it is?
Free
any
pie.
Kind of pie?
There's very little pie I don't like. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of lemon meringue, but I would eat it if somebody shoved my face in it. Sure.
Well, I'm not too crazy about lemon, but I've always liked, when I used to eat pie, coconut custard. That I like.
That's very good. I don't like coconut, but I like coconut custard.
Yeah, that tastes pretty. There's a nice flavor in that. When you taste that.
I will leave you with a little bit of trivia when it comes to pies.
Okay. Oh, boy.
You remember when the Three Stooges used to throw a pie in each other's faces?
Yeah.
Do you know what those pies were actually made out of?
Don't say shaving cream.
It was a pie plate filled with shaving cream because shaving cream would hold up for the amount of time they needed to film with. Whereas, you know, if it was a pie, it would, you know, if it was actually like meringue or whatever, it would break down. But the shaving cream would stay up there, so they would make them out of shaving cream, and that's what they would hit each other in the face with. Plus, it looked better on camera.
What about the ad they used to make for milk? They used to interchange it with glue.
Elmer's glue.
When they're pouring it.
Yep,
yeah,
Elmer's glue.
That was funny.
I tried putting Elmer's glue on my Frosted Flakes. It didn't work out so well.
Oh, have a good day.
You as well.
What kind of sandwich you going to have today?
I don't know. I have some leftover steak tips from last night, so I think I might have those. I made steak tips with some of the sauce I got at the winery, the Buzzin' Blue sauce. It was their blueberry wine and coffee grounds and chipotle seasoning.
Well, I saw your photo.
Very good.
It said mashed. Now, when you said mashed, are you talking, was that mashed potatoes on the plate?
Yeah, yeah. I just bought a package of those instant mashed potatoes.
And did you say instant? I saw the word instant.
Yeah, I just made the instant ones because I'm lazy.
Oh, so you did that at home? You didn't have that at a restaurant?
No, I made that at home.
Oh, with the cherries.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, so you buy the cherries. They're out already?
Those were maraschino cherries in a jar.
Oh, with the sugar and all that syrup crap. Oh,
hey,
good for you.
Hey, I was making a particular recipe. I had to get what I had to get.
Here I was thinking you had some real cherries.
Once they're out, I eat real cherries all the time, like nonstop. Once they're out,
yeah,
helps. It's good for gout.
They're not
so
too bad. They're not out all year round, so you can't really OD on it. I mean, you could, but
right. I do it for gout purposes. Very good for cleaning out
no
the blood.
No pickles on the plate. What happened to the pickles?
Nah, I don't need pickles.
That's
with
not the kind of meal you would have pickles.
No,
with?
No, pickles are for sandwiches. All right.
Alrighty then.
You have a good one.
Post some more pictures of food.
I will.
All right.
Take
have
care.
A good day.
All right. I got to take a break here. We will be right back in just a few moments. All right. We're going to be going into the news when we come back on the other side. Brian Frack.